Talk Live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudients can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, we've got another awesome show tonight on spiritual enlightenment. I like that one. About manifestations and how do we make the most of these manifestations. And I have with me tonight my two usual lovely ladies. I have Stars Maya Moon and Stars Nicole. And Candy is in the chat room if anybody wants to go there. We've been doing an awful lot of promoting. If you want to call in and share something with Nicole or Maya, you're welcome to do that. And the number is 347-838-9736. So with that, I'm going to start it off. I guess, Maya, you're going to begin the topic tonight?
Sure, I'll go ahead and get things started. Thank you, Miss Natalie. And welcome, everyone. As always, we are so pleased to have you. And if I know that we have had a lot of people that have really been tuning in regularly now, and when they're not able to tune in live, they've been you can always access on the Stars homepage, you can always access the prior shows on the archive there and listen. And I've had so many people, I'm just thrilled, that are really enjoying the topics and learning and getting different views and perspectives. So we just are so thrilled. You know, it just really comes from my heart, because without listeners, there would be no reason to have a show. We could just have a phone conversation. So just so you know that you are very much appreciated, and we're grateful. And we're also grateful for Candy and all the hard work that she does in promoting all parts of Stars, and especially promoting the Blog Talk Radio. And so I'm really glad to be here this evening again. And as Natalie mentioned, the topic is spiritual enlightenment. So I'll just give a brief synopsis and then turn it over to Nicole of what enlightenment means to me, or to how my guides and my experiences taught me. And I believe that it is a progression that is of the spiritual energy or spirit, our spiritual being self, and that it is it's something that occurs every so often in a natural kind of just like the seasons change. There's some enlightenments that happen naturally, in the same sense that we go through growing spurts, we go through puberty and that. But aside from that, it's my belief that we at times have the experience, and I see these as gifts or blessings, where we are given an enlightenment that is needed oftentimes. And sometimes we're not even aware consciously, our human side, which I term the ego. Not, I always make sure when I say ego in this context, I don't mean our pride. I mean ego as our external self, our conscious self, our day-to-day self. So we're not even always aware at times that we have received an enlightenment. We just recognize that something has shifted deep from within, and that shows externally. And so, and sometimes these can be really profound, and they can be needed, and they can be very helpful to help us progress on our path and to reach out on our potential. So if I was going to say, if someone asked me what is an enlightenment, I would say that it is a burst of growth that comes from our spirit or soul that trickles down and affects our self-view, our worldview, and in turn, everything, like if we go to cause and effect or the butterfly effect, it affects all things around us. And enlightenment is always a very positive experience. Again, I would see it as a gift or a blessing. And often, I do feel that sometimes it can come after we may have strayed off our path intentionally or otherwise, and perhaps not significantly. But that's what I would say about enlightenment. And it's interesting because I feel it's important that we're doing this particular subject or topic right now, because I feel that the universal or collective energies are very strongly within that realm or that type of energy. So with that, I'll turn it over to Nicole.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you, Maya. I agree with you on that regarding your definition for enlightenment, because the way that I look at it, or at least the way that my guides and spiritual team have expressed it to me, is it's just a core understanding and knowing that you're connected to everything and everyone. So you're a part of everything, and everything is a part of you. And so they sort of show that enlightenment is similar to what you said. I think that, yeah, we definitely have times where enlightenment can be very profound. You know, for people who are Christians or Jews who have studied the Bible, I mean, you see it in the Old Testament where Moses went up to the mountain and then came back with this divine revelation of the Ten Commandments. So that would be a very profound example of revelation. Or you see Buddha sit under the Bodhi tree and get enlightenment, you know. So those would be really profound examples. But I think really simple examples would actually be just being more compassionate, you know, being able to see that when a person behaves a certain way, it's not necessarily a reflection on you. It's more something that they're going through. I think another big part of it is our empathy and compassion for people growing. You know, a couple of days ago, I was just sitting on my couch. I was on the computer, and I kind of just got some information from my guides right away. And one of the things that they were telling me about healing work and about helping others is they were saying, you know, you often think that your greatest tool as a healer or as a worker is to be able to help people heal themselves. And Spirit was basically saying, that's not your greatest tool. Your greatest tools are empathy and compassion. And I think that as our enlightenment grows and expands, we do expand in empathy and compassion. So we understand what other people are going through, and to a degree, we also know what it's like, at least on a small degree, to put ourselves in that person's shoes. And I think that's a part of the enlightenment. It's kind of what you said before, Maya, about our external self, our ego self, the part of us that is very human and very separate. You know, enlightenment is kind of about breaking that down and understanding that, yes, I'm human and I'm having this experience as a human being, but the deepest part of me is connected to everything. And I think that, you know, when we get to that state of enlightenment and understanding, it's kind of just a knowing. We sort of just know that, and we're interconnected. And I think that it also changes the way that we treat others. I would say, for those who are involved in politics, I think it might even change the way we vote, change the way we buy food or how we grow food. So every aspect of our life, I think, you know, can be affected by that, because we understand that what affects one affects the whole. And so when I look at it that way, that's how I would see enlightenment. But I'll turn it back over to you, Maya, to get more of your thoughts on it now.
Well, right. I think you made good points, Nicole, that I definitely support as well. And I don't feel that we can evolve spiritually. One of the main ingredients, I would say, just like if you want to use the analogy of if you're making a butter pound cake, the main ingredient in order to make this beautiful, one of my favorites, actually, a true butter pound cake, is mm-hmm. butter. That's one mm-hmm. of the main ingredients. So when we're talking about a spiritual enlightenment and opening of our spiritual self and awareness, I believe that going along with what you said, that one of the main, if not the main ingredients, is that sense of caring and being able to which is what I refer to sometimes as our world in self-view, but being able to sympathize or to show concern for other people. That doesn't necessarily mean running out and having to take action, not that there's anything wrong with doing so, but it doesn't mean that we're suddenly, you know, going to give all of our money to charity or that. It's an energy. So it's a way that we emit, and people that we are around, whether it's people in a grocery store or family and friends, they just can feel that there's a difference. We go from suddenly being perhaps maybe oblivious a little bit because we're caught up in our own world. And in this society, in the present day, we do have a lot of external challenges. We're going through so many shifts here in the U.S. We're just inundated with this media coverage. You mentioned, you know, politics. And even though the election is a year away, I mean, the race is on. So there's all these extenuating circumstances, you know, the economy and just so many different shifts that we can often just be so absorbed within ourselves, trying to even just survive to do the best thing, that we lose touch with other people, and that just that sense of caring, and that I would see it as I believe you were describing it, and it's just a internal connection that automatically, like a switch, becomes turned on. And I do not feel that we can experience an enlightenment without that being a main or key ingredient, that caring. And oftentimes, enlightenments, I believe, come. Sometimes they can come after years or months of difficulty and struggle. You know, we're not always the life that we're living, and I'm talking about external circumstances. You know, it's not always a reflection of what we deserve. The future always is there to create and be different. That's what defines hope and faith. But many times good people, you know, say, why is this happening to me? Why did I get sick? Or, you know, why did... and here again in the U.S., I can't really speak for a lot of the other countries, although I know a little bit about some of them. But we have seen some of our major companies going, either closing shop or going bankrupt. I mean, just a lot of really traumatic experiences, which has affected, you know, hundreds, if not thousands, of people's lives. So, we get caught up in that, but then we have the ability. So an enlightenment can come sometimes after a series of, I almost want to say unfortunate events, although the other side of me, there's a conundrum there, because the other side of me believes that that's part of our path, purpose, lesson, and learning. So we have that too. But oftentimes enlightenment comes when we have maybe perhaps lost a little bit of our faith, and as you brought up, we've lost that connection to others, that ability to take a moment. I want to quote, but I actually forget the person that originally made that quote. I'm sorry, I got a little distracted. There's a flock of geese that just flew over the house. We had to take a minute. I'm like, okay, I know my guides don't have that kind of a voice, so is that, what is that? But it's just geese flying overhead, so yes, it's getting cold here. So sorry to get a little off track there, but yes, the quote I was thinking about is, and I believe it's relevant to this topic, and I believe that it's relevant to what we're experiencing today as a society, as a collective, and that is, if we look around, we can always find those that appear to have more, and yet we can always find those that appear to have less. So we should always embrace with gratitude what we do have, because we never know when we'll be on one side or the other. And then just in general, as you said, I'm very supportive of that theory of approaching life with love and concern and care for others and taking a moment in our lives to recognize that there are people that are struggling and suffering, and we may have, you know, we may come across someone, you know, calling on the phone, the cable's gone out, and that person just seems irritable and not very helpful. And we can be quick as humans to say, you know, well, I think you're being rude, or the little survey saying, you know, oh, yeah, we can get pretty crazy with that if we want to. Mm-hmm. But we don't know what that person's day or life or month has been like. So spiritual enlightenment, I definitely feel, have a purpose. And, yes, I believe that being brought back to the awareness of the collective, which just means being aware of other people with love and concern, empathic, sympathetic, however you want to word it, is a key ingredient. So with that, back over to you, Nicole.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Maya. I agree with quite a few of the points that you made. It's interesting because when you were talking about other people and compassion, I was thinking about this book that I've read long time ago. It was a really popular book called Embraced by the Light by Betty Jean Eady. I don't know if you've read it or familiar with it, but she had a near-death experience where she left her body and she basically went into the spirit world. And the knowledge and information she came back with was, you know, we don't have the proper information to judge each other because we don't actually know what another person is going through. We don't know all the intricacies of their life purpose, their mission. And so what might look like a disaster may actually be just what you said, the very path a person needs to walk to get to where they need to be, you know, because a lot of times that path to success or that path to enlightenment or understanding is not always a very straight path. It could be a really winding path, and there's dips and turns and twists. And, you know, that's something that she said that always stuck with me, that we don't always have the accurate amount of information to be able to judge a person's walk or a path, you know, with enough clarity to sort of say they're going right or they're going wrong. But another thing that you were talking about as well is you were talking about those really difficult, heavy times that people go through. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about today in preparation for the show is, those of us who have been through a dark night of the soul. And for people who are listening that may not be familiar with that, a dark night of the soul is exactly what it sounds like. It's a period in life where you don't necessarily know whether you're coming or going. Your material possessions may have been stripped of you. You may feel like you're having difficulty talking to your guides and communicating with your spiritual team, and you just feel confused. And it's actually a period of time that fortifies you and strengthens you, and it helps you to grow even closer to the divine. But when you're in it, it's really, really hard to see that. When you come out of it, you see how you drew closer to the divine, and the divine carried you through all of the trials and tribulations. But the interesting thing I find as well is that I think for some, a dark night of the soul is a part of that enlightenment where you go through the negative times, you go through the hard times, and you come out the other end with gratitude and also wisdom. And I think those negative times or those difficult times, it also gives us, I think in my opinion, compassion for other people, compassion for people who may have more or less materially or spiritually or mentally or emotionally. It just helps you to understand that everybody on some level has their own struggles, they have their own battles, they have their own things that they're facing. And when you come out the other end of your struggle or battle, it's a lot harder to like look at people around you with judgment because we're all facing something. But, you know, another thing that I've also realized that I think is kind of a byproduct of enlightenment is usually when people go through this dark night of the soul and they go through these trials and tribulations, they usually come out with a piece of information or a message. Sometimes it's for themselves, but a lot of times it might be for their family, it might be for their local community, it might be for the world. There's some piece of information or knowledge they come out with that they share with the world. You know, it makes me think of Neil Donald Walsh when he wrote the book Conversations with God, you know, and he had spent the better part of a couple of years homeless, you know, and at the end of that, many, many years later, he comes out with this book that explains basically connecting with God clairaudiently, you know. But, I mean, he's not the only one. You know, I referenced Moses from the Bible before, but a lot of times I think that that's what happens. You get a kernel of knowledge or wisdom or information. I find that, like, a lot of people, when they come out of this, they write books or they write music or, you know, or they create a YouTube channel or a radio show because they want to share this information. So I think that, to a degree, a byproduct of this enlightenment would be a piece of information that you're to share. So it's no longer just yours. It's something that you gift and you share to share with the world, you know. You know, I was listening to, I think it was Carolyn Mace, who was another well-known spiritual teacher and healer. And that was one of the things that she was saying, is that after you go through these processes, then you have to ask yourself the question, what do I share, what do I give, what's for the world, and what's for me? So I think that a part of it, I would say at least a part of it, is that you have information, and you, I think a lot of people that go through this, they start teaching, even if it's just within their family, even within the local community. Sometimes it's on a world stage, but a lot of people that go through this, they start teaching on some level. So I've noticed that. Yeah, that's what I think about it, Maya.
Yeah, that's very interesting. You know, now I'm not familiar with the first person that you mentioned, but I definitely agree that we don't know the whole story,
mm-hmm.
and that's even true in our own lives. And so, therefore, I mean, it would be, how many times have we, like, watched a movie or read a book, and maybe a third of the way through, we may assume that, okay, I know how this is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
And only to be surprised at the twists and turns. And, you know, another thing that came to me as you were talking about how we oftentimes we go through, you call it the darkness. I call it soul interrupted.
Is okay.
My term for it. Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe that we can go through periods of time due to struggle. And again, that is often part of the plan, because we have to go through these transitions so that we can see alternative sides or paths, or just to change our view. So our soul can become interrupted along the journey. And when it is back together or reunited, I mean, to a point that could be seen as an enlightenment, except I would personally see an enlightenment as a step up. But what you were saying about when we receive an enlightenment, or we've gone through the darkness, or what I would call our soul interrupted, and then back together, back reconnected to that higher source, and we may have something to offer, a message or a gift to share. Think of it in the collective sense that each of us, if we each were able to follow that and be less fearful of, and, you know, more empowered in sharing that, all of those other people on this planet are also then sharing that gift or that message. So if we are open to the collective, which is how I feel that we were placed here to be, or to learn to be. We're not necessarily born able to, you know, do that consistently without faltering, because we do falter as humans. I mean, we are humans. We always have to remember we have feet, not wings. So we definitely are human beings. But and just like you have quoted a couple of books, so obviously you have received something from messages that others have placed out there. And in turn, I'm sure, just like sharing on this show, that's just one way that you have given back or shared. And so that, I mean, if we think about the potential or the possibility that we all have to share, and to we can even, to a point, I believe that we can be a catalyst sometimes for other people in their enlightenment process. Now, we may not have the power to really, on that higher level, to induce an enlightenment, perhaps, but we can be a piece of that puzzle or a part of that. And, yes, I definitely believe that an enlightenment, it almost, to me, feels, especially the more significant or profound ones, which could very well be, an example would be a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's not anything that profound as far as physically or the external, it is spiritually, it can be that very much that way, that we are almost reborn and we are reacknowledging all the things. And for many of us, the faith and the hope that we have that we can lose is just recharged so that, because there's many times I believe that as we're walking along our path, I believe in universal law, and I believe that we're meant to live primarily in the present and the now. But when we are under duress or we're in a state of chaos or challenges or crossroads, it can be difficult to get out of that energy and see that to the future. So sometimes an enlightenment is a bit of a rebirth that allows us to move past that present and the past, which can sometimes follow us. You know, it can almost be a mm-hmm. stalker.
Mm-hmm.
It can help us to see that analogy, just like a movie, that we don't know, just as we don't know what another person may have endured that day that we happen to get them on the phone, or we don't know what a new coworker may seem aloof, but we don't know what that person has been through or endured, or what mm-hmm. he or she, what their life is like. The same can be true with our own selves. Even though we are aware, of course, of what we've been through, I hope I'm making sense. We may not be able to get past that position that we hold, that energy, to mm-hmm. see that enlightenment and that potential, and to reestablish the collective and divine connection, and to see that the future does not necessarily have to be a mirror for the past or even the present, that there is so much yet to be given, as you said, to share messages that we may have, or creativity, or a profession. You could be a teacher. I mean, you can be so, there's just, the list goes on and on. And then also what we may receive. People enter our lives. So a spiritual enlightenment comes, I believe, for many different reasons, but it does come to help us to raise the bar, so to speak, for ourselves, and to be able to give a little bit more and to be more compassionate, as you said. And a lot of times we get swayed from our path. I mean, there's so many temptations in our society. So I do believe that as we're struggling through life, we can veer off of our true path and purpose. And a lot of times that can just be pressure. There's a lot of financial pressures in today's mm-hmm. world. I mean, it would be nice if we could say, well, you know, you mentioned that person was homeless. And sometimes, you know, money doesn't bring happiness. But for most of us, we do need finances to, you know, to be able to live and to go on. So, I mean, it's just so many different things. And then enlightenment takes us from seeing that as the only way. We just have to work and make money. We have to do this. We have this stress. We have this obligation, to a place where we can see above and beyond all of that. And often that's needed for us to make changes so that we're not doing what we feel we're obligated to do and what's mm-hmm. necessarily expected of us, but we're able to do what makes us happy. Because usually I'm a firm believer, a true believer, and if we pursue, again, in light and in love, that which is true to us and what makes us happy is our gift, whatever that may be. our intrinsic self, if we pursue that, all other things will fall into place. It may not be easy, or simple, but I do believe that we will find that our material needs or whatever needs, shelter, food, all of those will be met. So sometimes an enlightenment is just bringing us back around, and sometimes it's just raising the bar for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you, Maya. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, what would you want to add? I mean, do you feel that people often receive enlightenment? For example, do you feel that there's times when people veer off their path and they have made decisions or choices that are not serving of their highest good? And so an enlightenment can do, you know, reverse that and help them to take a different new direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I would completely agree with that, because when I was listening to you talk, like, one of the things that I've been thinking about a lot lately, and it comes through in a lot of readings that I do for people, is that the future itself is not always 100% set in stone. You know, it not always. When we come to this planet, we have certain lessons and goals and things our soul wants to accomplish. And that's the part that's a little bit more fixed. But how we do it could come a plethora of different ways. You know, I mean, a person's lesson might be that they want to learn how to love themselves more deeply. They may choose to be born into a family where there's a lot of abuse, or they choose to be born into a really loving family. Either way, they're going to get the lesson. So I agree with you on that. I think that, you know, sometimes we veer off a path and we go a different way. I think because on one hand, it teaches us the lesson that our soul is elected to learn. But on the other hand, I also think that it gives us compassion for other people, you know, and it gives us compassion for what other folks are going through, you know. Of course, you know, I certainly believe that our thoughts and our emotions do help to create our reality and shape our reality. So that's certainly a part of it. But at the same time, you know, if I'm seeing somebody who's going through a really difficult time or a really troubling time, telling them that their thoughts create their reality may not be the thing they need to hear right now. Maybe what they need is just some compassion and someone to listen. So I think that sometimes when we seemingly go off or veer off a path, I think it is a part of the greater good, or, you know, that level of enlightenment that we're going to reach, but it also helps us to be compassionate concerning people who've gone down a similar path. You know, I think about it in doing readings for clients. You know, I'm sure you experience this as well, Maya, that, you know, I've had things in my life that, you know, at the time I couldn't understand why I was going through them. And then many years later, I would read for someone who was in the similar situation that I had been through 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or so forth. So I was able to help them, because not only was I able to pull in the psychic information, I was also able to use my empathy and human experience and sort of say, I can promise you, you're going to get through this. You know, you're going to be okay. So I think that that's a part of it as well. I think that it joins us together. I also think that sometimes when you go through difficult paths, it may force you to lean on other people. And I think that, you know, right now we live in a society where there's a lot of focus on the one, and that you being that one person, and you sometimes you standing alone. And I think that difficult times sometimes force us to lean on community. They force us to need people in a way that maybe we're not comfortable needing someone. But it sort of shows us that, you know, to a degree we can stand on our own and we can stand in our power that way, but there are going to be times when we need each other, when we need the family, when we need the community. And I think that those difficult times where we seem to veer off of a path, I think it teaches us that. And it's just like you said, even though it appears to be a veer off of a path, it always seems to circle back around. You always seem to come back to where you belong, you know, if you pay attention. So I think that, you know, I think that there's a lot of truth in what you said, and I agree with that, Maya. I agree. That those are my thoughts on it.
And I liked what you said, too, about that, about reaching out. And I believe that we're in a society that has a lot of conflicts in our belief systems, because
mm-hmm.
we have higher spiritual potential that we're being moved towards, but yet we have this other side, and like what you were saying, I really agree, and I think that is a much greater and more important issue than many of us as humans realize, is that it's good to be empowered so that we don't have to attach ourselves. For example, clients that, I call it swinging from the tree, okay, swinging from branch to branch, regardless of their sexual orientation, they absolutely have to have a partner or someone in their life. They're just unable to be alone. Now, that is not, I don't believe that to be a healthy state, healthy balance. However, when we are in need and we're going through an emotional crisis, or maybe our spirit is interrupted, or we're going through financial hardships or challenges, whatever, when we are able to reach out and let other people know and seek some support in a healthy fashion and just have someone listen. And I loved what you said, too, when going back to dealing with someone, if we have a friend or a family member that's going through a rough time, I believe that sometimes we're too quick to say, tough it out and, you know, you're going to be okay, when really that person, and I love too, I really loved a few of the things you said, so that person needs to be validated, and we can validate other people, and every time, just it's a boomerang, so whatever we give is returned. And when we validate another person, which often people just are seeking some validation, just by saying, even if you're being a little bit dramatic, and you're saying, oh, my goodness, good grief, bless your heart, you know, what a struggle for you. This has got to be difficult. Maybe you have, we as friends or family or someone that is being reached out to, maybe we don't, we have not walked that identical path, but we can certainly draw on our own challenges and just pull that out and validate that person. Each time we validate another person, we self-validate as well. And that is one thing collectively that I believe we have lacked, and that universally is trying to be restored to us, is that validation, that sense of self. So when we give that to another person, when we give consolation, when we give truth, when it just shows in our eyes and our energy, sometimes just a hug or a pat on the shoulder, I'm sorry you're going through this, and if you're religious, you might say, you know, I'm going to pray that life does get better, or if there's something I can do to help. And sometimes that's just a few minutes of listening. So that all is returned. I believe that is returned to us. And then we're able to, and think of it this way too, if we remain overly stoic and aloof, and we take independence, and we talked about power versus empowerment, and that example of mixing the two up, I'm going to get through this by myself. When we take that too much to the extreme, we're not really doing ourselves any favors.
Right.
We would be much better suited and much better equipped and much healthier, and our spiritual energy or vibration would rise to a higher level if we were able to show some vulnerability, and that also draws other people to us. Because if we come across as aloof and, I can do that myself. Well, I don't run down, and I don't whine about my problems. I just take care of them. Well, clap, clap, clap. But other people are not going to be, served by that attitude. And then eventually at some point or another, I can assure you that if it's not happened yet, it will. You will reach a point in your life where you will need the help of another human being. You will need some type of emotional or spiritual support. So it's really good to be humble and to be able to be in touch with that need and to take it into action. So I think that those are really good points that go along with enlightenment. And I also think that sometimes people just, for whatever reason, whatever we believe as far as, I tend to believe that we have a soul contract and that we have certain things that we, it's like a list. You know, when you go to work and you have a list, or you're a stay-at-home mom and you have a list. Got to go to the grocery store, I'm going to vacuum. Sally needs her hair cut, and Bobby needs to be spanked. No, I'm just kidding about the last one. but we have a list of things to do. So if we have a soul contract, we have a general outline of what needs to be perhaps learned or what is the potential to be accomplished. And oftentimes, for whatever reason, we're just not fulfilling that in the way that is possible for us. We have everything lined up. We have the opportunities are all there, but we're just not able to take those actions. And then I believe that a spiritual enlightenment can occur, and I believe those to be more profound. Sometimes they can be very vivid dreams or visions. We can even, sometimes I think we can have auditory experiences, just a variety of experiences that profoundly shake us to the core. And if you're wondering how you would recognize, if it's something significant, because significant changes are made, you're going to feel that your world has been rocked. And it can happen almost overnight, or it can happen over a period of a few weeks or a few months, where you just start to feel, this is not the life that I want. This is not the life that I have dreamt about. And you start becoming more and more determined to find a way to walk that true path. And I believe that that's what enlightenment is about. And that if we don't fight that and we go with that and we start to delve into, okay, I've always wanted a business where I was able to sell these things that I make, these braided leather leashes, let's say, or beautiful afghans. And that's always been our dream, but we're working at a factory, you know, because that's just where we landed. So an enlightenment can give us that extra oomph or power, and it's just like this urge that's just constantly kind of like a drum beating in the background, our song playing over and over, reminding us, okay, we need to get out there and we need to follow that. And happiness, I do believe, comes in many forms, but it's imperative in order to be happy that we walk our true path. And our true path is that which makes us happy, and it's done with the intentions of love and light. Mm-hmm. So hopefully I didn't ramble too much, Nicole.
No, you didn't. I agree with a lot of what you said. I really like what you said about compassion for other people and being a witness for other people. You know, so I wanted to touch on that. And then I also want to touch on some of the things you were saying about those more profound experiences with enlightenment where your whole life changes, you know, because I think about this from the perspective of doing readings for clients, you know, and I'm sure you experience this as a psychic and a medium. The way that I was trained is that I present information, you know, so at the start of the reading, I'm not wanting to know, you know, your background story, because I have to validate the information, you know, so I need to give you validation. But what I find sometimes with some clients is that what they're really needing is they need somebody to witness what they're going through. You know, they may want that psychic reading to a degree. They may want a peek into the future, but what they really want is someone to say, I'm sorry that happened to you. Just as you said, that must have been really, really hard. And so their soul is almost craving you bearing witness before you can sometimes give validation. So that's an interesting thing that I've noticed and kind of gone through and reading for folks. But the other thing I was also going to say, and I like what you said about how, you know, when that enlightenment comes through and it comes down, a lot of times what happens is life as you knew it changes, you know, and maybe you approach life with a different set of goals or a different passion, you know. For some reason, I feel like there might be somebody listening on the phone lines right now or maybe in the chat room who is thinking about quitting their day job. And so for some reason, what I'm just led to say is you don't necessarily have to quit your day job in order to do what it is you want spiritually, but you can look at it as your day job financing your spiritual life, if you will, and understand that it's all a spiritual life. So say, for example, if I'm working at a bank, but my strong desire is to be a Reiki practitioner, well, at night I can take Reiki classes. In 3 to 6 months, I can open my practice and I can start working and I can start going and getting that together. So I think one important thing to remember is that when that energy of enlightenment calls you, it does change your life and it changes it in a profound way, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to take a wrecking ball to the life that you built. You can just ask yourself, how can I have a fuller life? How can I have a freer life now? You know, I think sometimes we think that if our career shifted or if our career changed, that would change everything. And sometimes what spirit is calling us to do is just to bring that joy and that excitement into every area of our life. So I might stay at that job at a bank and work that 9-to-5 job, but on the weekends I'm taking yoga classes or dance classes, or I'm taking trips, or I'm hiking with my family, or, you know, I'm getting my certification in a healing modality. And all of that is a part of all of that is a part of life, a full life. You know, I also think a little bit about those people who maybe they have that level of enlightenment and they stay in their regular life and their regular job, so to speak, but they do it with a sense of grace, you know? So it's sort of like, even if they're sitting down and from the outside looking in, answering phones doesn't seem like that big of a deal, sometimes that person can understand, you know, that they're there to serve on some level, and they get the deeper meaning behind why they're in the position they're in. I think that's another part of it, too. You know, I think back years ago, you know, when I was reading for a client many, many years ago, and I was on the radio show doing readings, and I did a reading for this person live, and she was working at a school for abused and neglected teen kids. And it was a really difficult day, and this kid kind of like attacked her, and it was just very, very difficult, and she was really traumatized. And what came through from spirit was, you know, you need to remember this day because this is going to prepare you for your life 5-10 years from now. And today that girl is a social worker. So she works with people, and she really helps young girls and young men and families to empower themselves. But, you know, it might have looked like a very negative thing what she went through, but many years later, she used that knowledge and information she remembered that day, and she applied it to her social work. And now she's a very successful social worker. She helps a lot of people. She's married. She has a family. She's very happy with her life. You know, and it's so interesting how something seemingly so traumatic changed everything, you know, and kind of changed the game, but it changed it in a positive way for her, I think, you know. That's what I was thinking of when you were talking about that, Maya.
Yes, that's very true. And what you said is also very true, that sometimes as we pursue our highest path, our true path, what you said, I feel it can be, that can be the deal breaker, that can make all the difference. We may not, like you said, we're working in a bank, but we dream of being, whatever, an artist, a musician, working with children. Sometimes it's an enlightenment simply changes, and I very much believe in a state of grace, that is one of the highest forms of energy that we can embrace. And oftentimes, an enlightenment may just shift the way that we view our present-day life, so that job at the bank or babysitting or secretary, whatever, the details of it, we are, instead of seeing it as a dead end and being locked into the energy of, this is it, this is, I'll never, my dreams will never come true, they're too, you know, they're too far from where I walk right now. But mm-hmm. we have idea what the future holds. And as you said, you don't necessarily have to take, you know, great risks, especially if you, you know, you have some security in your job. But it's the way that you view that. If you view that job or the working or whatever situation you're in, the small house you might be living in when you have a large family and you're dreaming of a bigger home, but you can't afford it. If you see that as this is a step, this is the beginning, this is what is helping me by working this job, it's financing my dreams, like you said. That can be the way that we view things and the way that we see our lives, both in the present and in the future, the possibility and the potential, can make all the difference in the world between being happy and motivated. And what I usually, it sounds like we work very similar, Nicole, and mm-hmm. I'm sure that's true of a lot of people in this profession, but my guides are very much my communicators. They pass the information to me so that I can validate, and I, as you said, I like to do that, but I do find, as you said, that there are clients that's not really their need at the moment. Their need is to share their story, to have someone, you know, to validate, to understand, to listen, and just to say, yes, you know, that's their need, and that's all it takes for them to be able to move forward or take a step. But I often tell my clients when they feel that let's say they've received perhaps an enlightenment, so they have all the right feelings perhaps, or they know where they would like to be headed, but they don't see the path at the moment, there's so much more that we can do. We don't have to, as Nicole said, I agree, we don't have to necessarily quit our day job and move to California and start while we're trying to become actors. But I say take each week and do one small thing that is some type of action that moves you towards that goal, whatever that goal may be, whether it's, like you said, doing a yoga class at night or taking a knitting class, or those that are looking that are ready and seeking their life partner. I mean, it's not hunting. So you shouldn't put your guns on and say, well, I'll go out and hunt them down, because that doesn't work. But if you just actually, I know, but you know what I mean about that energy.
Yeah.
That oftentimes, and then we get into that obsessive energy, where enlightenment allows us that state of grace that you mentioned, Nicole, and allows us to have a more serene view and attitude and feeling and state of grace, and not only towards self, but towards others as well. So it all comes back. And so just if you're a person that you're right in that transitional period and you feel this enlightenment, you feel that you are destined for something greater or something better or something closer that you've dreamt about or wanted since you were young, as far back as you can remember, but you feel that circumstantially or at the moment your life is very far from that, understand that you may be, you know, as we both agree, you may be right where you need to be, and then do some little thing, whether it's making a phone call, taking a class, if you're ready to find love, just be open to that potential. So meet with friends and gather and be social. I mean, we do have to take, I do believe that we have to be very active in our lives to seek that which we desire. So, again, that doesn't mean that we have to go, you know, to any extremes. But we're not, if we're sitting home, if we're working a job and it's not, we're not really happy, or we don't feel that we're on our true path, so to speak, or that we don't feel that intrinsic satisfaction, or we don't have a person in our life yet, if we're sitting home and just watching TV every night and we have no social outlet, no social network. I mean, no, probably that person isn't going to fall from the sky. And if a job, career, the same thing. You know, people say, well, there's no, if, clients will sometimes have the attitude, well, I already know there's nothing out here. Well, no, you don't know, because life changes. Just as the earth, we don't feel it because we're accustomed to it. But the earth is constantly in rotation on its axis. So in retrospect, we are all in constant movement and constant shifting, spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, cognitively, physically. There's a constant sense of motion. So if you just kind of keep that in mind and just try to make yourself reminders and take those actions and realize that where you are right now is a part of and probably supposed to be steps towards where you're going. And don't lose your faith or your hope. And if you have been troubled or you feel this, you know, urging, I have clients that come to me, whether it's relationship or career, but they just say, you know, I just can't shake this, that I need to make a change. Then yes, you need to make a change. So start by some type of action that can propel you to those changes that you feel need to be made. And you don't have to, it doesn't always have to be logical, and you don't have to meet other people's expectations. All you have to do is be true to yourself.
I completely agree with that, Maya. I like what you said about being true to yourself. The one little thing I would add to that as well, as you were saying about planning, is it, yeah, sometimes you just have to look at big picture and maybe say a year from now, what would I like my life to be like? How would it look to me? And then once you have that in your head, you start to ask yourself, well, what could I do over the course of every month or week or day to make that happen? And so you create a plan, just as you said, little by little, working up to where you want to be a year from now. And if you're just doing a little bit here and a little bit there every day or every week or every month with a certain amount of dedication, by the end of that year, chances are you will have reached your goal. You may even have surpassed your goal. You know, it reminds me of that little phrase. I don't know if you heard it when you were a child, but they say mile by mile, it takes a while, but inch by inch, it's a cinch. So it's sort of like, you know, instead of feeling like, oh, I'm never going to get there, I'm never going to do this, you just sort of see where you want to be, and then you sort of say, okay, well, what can I do today or what can I do this month to make that happen? And it could just be a few little things. You know, it doesn't have to be a huge grand plan, but just a few little things, and it gets you where you need to be and it gets you where you want to be. So, you know, just – it doesn't have to be, as you said, like that crazy obsessive planning. It doesn't have to be feeling like you're going to hunt it down. It really can just sort of, you can look at, you know, what makes sense to me? What brings me joy? What does happiness look like to me? If I could, like, spell it out, what would that be? And then once you know what that is, start to create a little plan to make it happen. And just do it little by little, as opposed to feeling like you have to do it all in one day, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, that'd be good. And I haven't heard that saying, but I definitely understand the gist of it and have heard very similar. And I'm going to close, and then I'll give it over to you, Nicole, to do the same. And what I would close is with this is that this, we've shared a lot of really good information, and spiritual enlightenment is a profound and often significant part of our spiritual journey. And it all trickles down, so it affects every aspect of our life. And one last thing that I would recommend, and I do recommend to clients at times, is to write their life story and try to make your synopsis of the past short, because you don't want to get, the idea is not to get caught in the past, because that's all too often one of our problems or obstacles or blocks that keeps us from moving forward. So just make your past, and I always recommend that you write in the third person. And so you write your past so that you you can look back and someone, if someone came along and picked that up, they would have a general idea of what your past was like. And then write two alternate endings. Starting from the present, write the one if you do nothing, if you just continue to plod, so to speak, through life. But then write one, again in the third person, but she suddenly realized her dream. And there's a saying, and I don't care for it so much literally, although it can be important, but if we take it in the spiritual sense, and that's if you watch your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves, which mm-hmm. goes back to you saying, if we take little steps, sometimes those little steps can be more significant and can get us to our destination quicker than, you know, the trying to take these giant leaps, because sometimes that can be too risky. So that's one thing. Writing things down, the written word has carries much power to it, and it also is a reminder that we can look back. If we get a little bit lost or we get a little bit unsure or uncertain, we can look back at that. So with that, spiritual enlightenment, the universal energies right now, my guides show me, are very ripe for making changes, whether those are small changes that need to be made, or they're just preparing you and you're getting prepared for changes that you're going to make when the timing is right. But preparation and opening yourself up and seeing others with sympathy, love, and care and concern, and you will start to see yourself that way, and so it will be reciprocated. So with that, I wish everyone some enlightenment, that we all can become enlightened beings, that we can share this earth with love for one another, and that the collective can become one of a great, wonderful support system, you know, to protect a fence. The old saying, do you want a fence to keep people out or to keep people in? And it would be both, where we're working together, protecting each other and helping each other and reaching out. So with that, I thank you all. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be here with you this evening. And I will see you next Monday. And over to you, Nicole.
Yeah, well, thank you, Maya. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Maya, Natalie, Candy in the chat room. The final thing I would leave people with is take some time, you know, because we've got about 2 months left in 2015. So take some time to think about what you want your life to look like over the next year or so. You know, and it's something that's deep down in the bones that really feels good and feels right for you. Take some time to think about that and plan just little by little to reach those goals. And the final thing I would say is when difficult things happen, when difficult times happen, rather than shying away from that emotion, feel it. Let yourself feel all of it. Let it flood through your body, because what will happen is once you let that flood through your body, it'll give way to a new emotion. And then once it gives way to that new emotion, you can say, okay, yes, this is the situation I'm in now, but these are my dreams and my goals, and this is what I'm working towards. So you can always acknowledge what you're feeling and where you're at and give honor to where you're at, but at the same time, know where you're going. So I wish you guys the best. And with that, I will turn it over to Natalie.
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm very quiet because a lot of it was resonating with me. Of course, when my husband died of Alzheimer's, I had people who will say to me, you know, they admire what I did and all those kinds of things. And sometimes I'm able to let them know how I handled it myself, and then I have to take it back to stars. I did extend the hour, by the way. Have to take it back to stars because right now, I was telling Maya that I talk to every day just about, is that I'm on this high every day, and Tony and I figured it out. Well, I figured it out. It's because stars is right on the brink. We have so many things that we're fine-tuning that no other site has right now. They don't have it. And so I you know, I'll laugh at him. I'll say, well, you know why I'm pushing you? And he says, oh, yeah, I know. I said, well, can't you feel the momentum? He says, well, what I do is, he says, I listen to you. When you call and talk to me, I can hear it in your voice. And, like, if we have an issue, like, for example, a gift certificate code didn't get sent. So right away I told him, I said, this is the first thing you have to do is fine-tune this, make this perfect, because when we launch this new thing, we could have a lot of gift certificates. We have to be prepared. You know, it's almost like being a Cub Scout, a Girl Scout, a brownie, all of that kind of stuff. You have to be prepared for stuff. And he was laughing today. He said, you know, I get your emails, and my emails are just like how I talk to him. I do it. And it's funny because this is exactly what he's doing. He's jumping on everything now. This morning we worked on stuff, my WordPress, so that I can do other things. Oh, gosh, the tools, the little doodads I have in there. I have all my little toys in there now that I can do things with. But that's part of me. But the other part is a realization I would like to achieve for STARS. Not necessarily being on the first, on the first page. Of course I want that. But I mean to be recognized, and not in competition with anybody else, but to be recognized that we are the place to go if you need any kind of enlightenment. You go to STARS. There isn't any other place to go. And that's what I'm working towards, and that's what I want. And all these things that keep evolving, I mean, this new design's taken a year, but I'm patient, you know, I don't push. I know it takes time and all of that because I do some code myself, so it just takes time. But that's part of what I want. Maybe that's part of what I'm trying to manifest for all of you. And I think being in the dark place with my husband, because it was like 4 years at least that I was home. I've told the story. I'm not going to tell it again. I think coming out of that, it took a while, but it took all this time actually because he'll be gone 4 years. For me to actually feel like I can accomplish an awful lot. So it's strange how things happen for you. And I was listening to you guys, and you just work so well together. I say this every week, but I'm very proud of you. I'm just proud of everybody, really. But when I started in tennis, I handled the whole league, I mean, all the leagues, and I handled the clients that came in to use the courts. And I'd never done such anything on such a large scale. And sitting here listening to you, I'm thinking to myself, well, now I know why I did that. Now I had to gain that experience. Obviously, it was something that I was good at. And now I've moved into another area. I had no ideas I'd be doing this. But look what I'm doing now. So all of what you say is true. It really resonated with me. And it made a lot of sense. And it just makes me, every Monday night, I feel really good when I'm off the radio, and even before I get on, I have this anticipation because I know something is going to be sent to me while I'm listening. I'm going to get something out of it just for me. And I can tell you that I'm not in the dark place like I used to be. Maya knows because she knows me a long time. I'm not in that dark place like I was. I'm actually, you know, coming up and out and feeling the light on me. And what I started doing is going to the movies with my girlfriend almost every single week. And I love movies. That's the thing that we do every single week. Or we go out to lunch. I didn't do that before. I would go, but I was struggling. I'd go because they asked me to go. It wasn't because I wanted to go. And I thought about that last week, and I was talking to my son. I said, you know, because he used to always say to me, Mom, if they ask you, you need to go because then they're going to stop asking you, you know. Well, I had trouble going out with them. I mean, they're fun, they're great, they're very loving, but I didn't want to do it. But by forcing myself to do it, it became a nice thing. So now sometimes I'll call one of my girlfriends, hey, what are you doing tomorrow? Or something like that, you know, and it's wonderful for me that I can actually be so involved when I look back and I wasn't involved at all for like 4 years. I was in the house, that was it. But see how life's changed and you can do it. And somebody goes through something like I went through with somebody who has Alzheimer's that people have asked me, how did you do it? I always tell them I had help that you couldn't see, and that's the truth for me. But I'm able to help them, you know, get through something, maybe not the exact same thing, but they think, you did this, I can do this too. And maybe that's where I was and where I am now. I don't know what the two of you think about that. But anyways, Next week we'll have another great topic, I'm sure. And I want to thank Candy in the chat room, as always. And she, you know, my phone goes off when I'm on the radio, and it's Candy posting this here and posting this there. And we're really gearing up with Twitter and doing that kind of stuff. And I love you both very much, and you have no idea how proud I am.
Thank you, Natalie.
Really, no. I mean, I could cry if I let myself. Truly, truly. I have been given something most people never get. Never. They can dream about it. And if they can work for me, they're close. They've got it, you know, because I share and I will take care of all of you as long as I can. So with that, without getting into this all, you know, me getting upset, we'll see you next week. I love you guys a whole lot. Thank you, Candy. I know you can hear me for doing your great job. And I'll see both of you next week and Candy next week. So with that, I'll say good night. Love you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.